Hi. I love it. Well, welcome to a really beautiful Sunday, a little cool. This shirt wasn't quite what I needed, but I'm real tough, so I took it, you know. Anyhow, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22. And we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 3. It's only about six verses, but it's got some important stuff for us as usual. So, don't look. I really like that song. Do you guys like that song? I did. Let me pray first. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thanks for getting all these folks here, God. Thank you, God, for being you. Thank you, Lord, for making salvation a free gift that any of us can qualify for. Lord, if we'll just bow before you. And I pray, God, you'll help me to speak clearly and that you'll speak through me, Lord, and whatever I leave out, maybe somebody else can fill that in. But I really thank you, God, for your word, because that's what we're talking about today is your word. And I pray, God, that we can all walk out of here hearing from you, Lord, exactly what you wanted us to hear. In your son's name, amen. I'm not going to drink that coffee. What's that doing here? Okay, First Peter, written by the Apostle Peter, just like the next book called Second Peter is written by the Apostle Peter. Okay, he was a leader in the early church. He was a big dude, and he had a big mouth, and he really contributed a ton to the beginning of the early church. And in the end, he was crucified upside down when he's writing these books. It was near the time of Nero's great persecution of the church. And he was quite a man. He was a man. He followed the Lord. And I'll tell you what's really interesting about him is that if you look at the book of John, in the last book of John, the last page, he had denied Jesus three times. Jesus reinstated him, you could say, and forgave him and all that. And he told him, I want you to, in so many words, I want you to be a leader of my church. And he told him also this, you're going to die for doing it. Okay, he told him that in his words. You know, you're going to be taken out like this. I'm not going to take you where you don't want to go. Peter knew what he was talking about, and he followed. And he did a great job. So here, since you have in obedience, we're in 1 Peter 1:22. It says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. First thing I want to point out is when he says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. What he's talking about is you have accepted Christ. You're now a brother in Christ. You're in God's family. So he says, fervently love one another from the heart. And then he says this, for you've been born again. That's where that phrase comes from. It's Peter. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, not like this body that's perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Then he says this, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Everything around us, nature, this universe, heavens and everything, sooner or later is going to be gone. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and you're going to have, if you've accepted Christ, you're going to have a brand new body. that lasts forever. And, you know, a lot of us were appreciating that fact more and more all the time. Word of the Lord, he says, endures forever. And then he says this, therefore, since you are where you are, since you're now a believer, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, envy, and all slander, in other words, your former life, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you've tasted, or since you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. So, that's the end of our passage right there. So let's start over and go through this again and break it down just a little bit. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Pretty clear, you were born through the word of God. It's the word of God, God's word, that generates our new birth. We're going to be talking about this more, and you may have questions at the end, that's fine. The word affects us. It has an impact on us. If you're open-hearted to God, it has an impact on you. If you're closed-hearted, it has an impact on you. If you're in between, it can have an impact on you. And I know this is true because I've experienced it myself. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit too. But some people, you lay the Bible down in front of them and say, read this. How's this read to you? And they're almost, well, they are. They're shocked in a little, in a small way about how it impacts them. Surprised about how it hits them. Some people say the word itself is self-verifying that it's from God when they read it, if they're open-hearted to God. And it's this word that gives us spiritual birth. And I could talk more about that, and I am going to be talking more about that, but let's go on. The word gives us birth, spiritual birth. And then he says, like newborn babies, since you're born again, since you have a new life, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to your new salvation. Long for the pure milk of the word. So the word gives us spiritual life, and also it's the word that we feed on after we're born that enables us to grow spiritually. We mature over a period of time by the word mainly. Okay? So how's that work? That's the question. How's that work? The word is very, very powerful. Very powerful. Check out some of the things God himself says about his word. He says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, the word goes right inside you and pierces you right down to your heart. And it says that the word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So as we're studying the word and trying to understand what God's saying to us, I heard somebody put it like this, and I think it's pretty good. He said, as you're studying the word, God is studying you through his word. God is in his word. So the word, he says, is living and active, and it can go right through you. And I think some of us and look back on times and say, yeah, I remember that when that happened. God also says this about it. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, we're back to that. It's the word of God that saves you. And then he says this. It was a long time before I discovered this verse, but I think this is a great verse. He says, this is out of Isaiah, the Old Testament. It says, whereas the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So the word, again, it impacts people. And again, I say, I don't think I made it clear. If you want somebody to understand that God's saying something in his word, like John 3:16, okay, whatever it is, don't just tell them, here's what he says. Get the word out and say, hey, read it. If you can possibly do it, get it in front of them. Because God can speak more powerfully through his word, simply them reading it, than you telling him what it says. I can't explain how this works, but I know this is true. Because God is in his word. It is not just ink on a page. It's not just paper and ink. God is in his word. And that's the reason it impacts you so much. And you know, you can read the word, you can read the same section of the word one time and it tells you this. And you can read it later. Your life has changed. Maybe it could be years later, it could be weeks later. You're in a different situation or whatever, and you read that same section of the word and something else will jump out at you. And it's God being very personal with us, telling us what he knows we need to hear and think about. So what I'm saying is this. If you're with somebody, like we all are from time to time, and we get on the subject of God and grace and eternal life and all this, or religion period, you know, and you may be with somebody and say, I'd like for you to take a look at this and read this and tell me what you think. And they may say, look, I'm not into any of that stuff. I'm not into spiritual stuff. I don't believe in it. I don't believe the Bible means anything. And you say, well, read it anyhow. And you'll be surprised because it will have an impact. You won't see it. They won't jump up and down and laugh or anything like that probably. But it will have an impact, even if they say it's junk. It'll have an impact one way or the other. And what God said in Isaiah 55 is, his word will not go forth and come back to him without accomplishing what he desired. Okay? And a lot of times, a lot of us have to be exposed to the word and God over and over until we finally get it. Not all of us, though. Not all of us, but regardless, I just want to assure you, if you get the word in front of somebody, it'll do its job. That's what it's there for. And I've often snuck around and just sort of looked at people's faces or reading the word, you know, people that don't know the Lord, or sometimes people that do, and you can see people's face, the expression's changing, and their interest, you know, going up and going down. And I want you to think about this. I think a lot of us think, okay, if I'm going to talk to my neighbor, the guy across the street or whatever, or my brother or sister, mom or dad, and get them saved, then I really got to lay this whole thing out about who Jesus is, why he came to earth, that he came to die for our sins, and he died on a cross and all that. People often get saved knowing very little, okay, not knowing a whole lot. They simply hear what they need to hear, they think about it, and they ask God to come into their life. I know a guy, if I mentioned his name, you'd know him. He got saved by this. He was in a Bible study with some people. He was a young guy. He didn't understand all of it, but he was getting the message of grace. He was hearing that salvation is a free gift. So he went home, and he's laying in his bed at night, and I know the scripture that keyed him on was Revelation 3:20. And Revelation 3:20 says, it's Jesus, okay? And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them, and we'll have a relationship. In other words, we'll get to know each other, you'll be saved. He was laying in bed at night, and he said, this is what you call a really confident person. And he said, if you're there, and if this is true, come into my life and save me. And by golly, God came into his life and saved him. That's simple. So what I just want us to know, they don't have to know everything. to get saved. We don't have to know a whole lot, but we need to put our faith in Jesus. And that's what he was doing. Okay. Here's another verse. If anyone is, this is God speaking, Jesus speaking. He says, if anyone is willing to do his will, God's will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Jesus is saying, if anybody's willing, they'll know if I'm full of crap or if I'm speaking for God himself. And that's the key word, willing. Okay, the guy laying in bed was willing. Okay. The person who doesn't know much is willing. But that's what God is looking for, is a willing heart, someone who wants to know him. And that's what the word says. And that, of course, includes the guy laying in his bed. Now, I want to look at a few verses here. What I call them salvation verses. And these are simply verses where God is giving the invitation. In so many words, invite me in. Invite me in. I want to come in. Now, I had to put this up because everybody's heard this 10 million times. John 3:16. You could recite it without thinking about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Covers all the bases. God gave his Son so that no one would have to perish that believed in him, but they would have eternal life. I was in a Bible study with some guys for a while, and I didn't know if I was saved or not. But I was listening, and this was one of the things that they read, and or I read too, and so forth. And I thought, yeah, but, and I don't even know what it was about that hung me up. But it wasn't this verse that saved me. It was two verses down. It was John 3:18, not 3:16. And 3:18 says, he who believes is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Okay, now if you're a real simple thinker like I was, okay, that made a lot of sense. If you believe, you're not judged. If you don't believe, you're already judged. So anyhow, I took that step mentally. Then he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's John 1:12. There's all kind of verses like this just in the book of John. As many people as received him, that's to ask him into the life, they became children of God. Salvation verses. And I think this is the last one I've got, but it's John again. It's John 5:24. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And the way this is worded, it's saying, he who believes, at that point, before you get out of your chair, once you've made that decision to believe, you are saved. Permanently. You don't lose it. You're in God's family then. And here's the verse for my friend. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Now, these are pretty direct verses, aren't they? I mean, there are invitations all over the Bible like this. I call them billboards. Say, you know, read me, this sort of thing. This one here, John 16:12 is the verse. I just happened to stumble on it the other day again, and it's a verse that meant a lot to me years ago. I used to go to the YMCA and play basketball, okay? I mean, for a long time. But anyhow, I was in Lexington, Kentucky. I'd been at the YMCA playing ball, and I'm walking out, don't have much time. The YMCA at that time, I don't know what they could do now, but they would have a table out there with a glass cover on it and a book in it. Okay, it was usually the Bible. And the Bible was open. I came out, and I looked at the Bible, and I'm going out the door, and it had this verse on it. And this is the verse. I have many more, this is all it was. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I remember reading that verse and thinking, what's he talking about? You know, and it was like it was drawing me. It was like it was calling me, and it really impacted me. And the whole thing took maybe 30 seconds, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I read that verse, and it just seemed to say, you need to come back and learn from me. I want to talk to you. Now, this is just one more. We don't want to get too personal, right? I was a kid once. I used to walk to school, okay? I'm going to junior high school, and I had to go by St. Mary's Hospital in Huntington, West Virginia. And this was carved into a plaque, like a statue of some kind. There may have been an angel on it. There may have been a deer on it. I don't know what was on it, okay? But this is all it said. I knew it was out of the Bible. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. And I remember I read that daily almost for a long time. And I didn't really know what it means, but I did know that it meant there's a God up there, according to this. And somebody's saying they are really thirsty for this God. Really thirsty for this God. And I never memorized it, but I never forgot it either. And when I became a Christian, all this come flooding back into my mind. I'm remembering these things. And I know a lot of you guys, you can identify with what I'm talking about because you've been there. And that's, again, God's word is alive. It's not just ink on a page. It's God himself talking to you. No, he's not standing there with a body and a voice, but God talks to you through his word. Well, God also says this about his word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He's saying his word is totally durable, more so than this entire universe. The universe is going to be gone. This world's going to be gone. God's word is not going to be gone, and of course, God's not going to be gone. And if you've accepted Jesus, you're not going to be gone either. You're going to be with him in heaven. Similar verse, the word of the Lord endures forever. It's not going to fade. It's not going to rot. It's not going to rust. It's not going to die. It's going to be here forever, regardless of what happens. And it's very, very powerful. So people are saved by the word, and people grow by the word. Back to our verse in Peter. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Have you ever noticed, and I know you have you ever noticed how hungry a newborn baby can get? You ever been talking to some woman that has a brand new baby, and that baby's hungry? And that baby's kicking its feet and moving its head and going like this or something, you know? That's a picture of the way we should be once we accept Christ. If we understand that it's his word that wants to grow us, that will grow us. Nobody can mature to any great degree as a believer without really getting into the word and feeding on it. And you know, you can read the whole Bible and you say, well, I'm done. No, you're not. If you go read it again, it's going to tell you different things that you didn't pick up the first time. And if you read it until you're 96 years old, it's going to be the same way. That's the reason you go hang out with some of these old people that have been believers for years. They still got a Bible there. They still read it every day because God's talking to them. And they're getting older and they're getting nearer to death and they want to hear it even more than they did before. And that's sort of the way it works. So once you're born as a new believer, it's time to grow. It's time to get in the word and feed on the word. And if you don't do it, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you're doing yourself a grave disservice. Because God's got a personal role for you as his child on this earth in his program to rescue people back to him. He's got a role for you. You're probably not going to find it if you really don't get into his word, and you're probably not going to find it very quickly if you don't get in some fellowship and really hang out with other believers, because the advantage of doing that is other believers will point out things to you that they notice about you. You know, that, man, you're gifted in service. It's amazing how you serve people. Or, you know, you're gifted in the Word. You pick the Word up really quick. I don't know how you do it. I can't do it. Or, you know, you're a teacher, you're a leader, you're whatever. That's part of growing. People pointing out things to you that you don't know about yourself. So feed on the Word. Now here's a billboard. I mentioned billboards earlier. It's all through the Bible. This is in Psalm 119. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What's that mean? Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's one of these read me verses. The word is a guide to your life, is what it's saying. The word can tell you where you are in life. The word can tell you you're headed in a good way. Keep going that way. The word can say, back up. You're going the wrong way. And it helps you to keep your spiritual balance. And it helps you develop as a person. And also it will tell you what kind of people not to hang out with versus the kind of people you should hang out with. I know one of the things it says, if a man has a something to do with the temper, a really bad tempered dude, okay? Say, basically, it's not a good idea to hang out with that person, okay, until they change. But anyhow, the word is a guide. That's what this verse is saying. Here's another billboard. Let the word of Christ, God's word, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Have you ever seen a sponge sitting on a table that's just absolutely, totally filled with water? Okay? And you just touch it, and water comes flowing out onto the table. You've done that, right? That's a picture of what we're saying. Be filled with God's word. Absorb it. You'll be able to use it. You'll never regret it. So get soaked in God's word. Now, this is an interesting verse here, too. This is in Hebrews. He says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness," God's word, "for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." The Bible describes two kinds of truths. What it calls milk truths and solid food. Milk truths are things like Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus came from heaven. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. Salvation is a free gift, things like this. But then there's solid truths, and there's not a lot of them, but there's some in the Bible that you really have to get into the Word and study it and go back and refer to things and so forth. To come to understand exactly what it's talking about. I'll throw out one word, Melchizedek, okay? Now, go dig that out and find out what Melchizedek was all about. He's in Genesis. And, he's here in Hebrews 5, verses 13 to 14. So that's what it's referring to. Just Hebrews 5, read it. But what it's saying is that if you don't get into the Word and get the milk truths in you, then you're going to have a hard time understanding the others. But the main point overall in all of these verses is learn the Word. Get into God's Word and let Him talk to you. If you want to memorize it, that's great. If you don't, that's up to you. But learn the Word. And here are, I thought it would be good to give us some benefits of knowing the Word. What do you think the first one is? No, that's not it. Wisdom. If you get into God's word, He's going to give you wisdom. You're going to start learning some things you hadn't thought about before. Here's a verse. This is in Psalm 119. David wrote this. And he says, your commandments, your word, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. In other words, I meditate on your word. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. So there is some, what he's saying is there's some real wisdom in the word. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. I mean, these old people have been around forever and so forth, and they don't know the word. I can get into the word for a while, and I'll know more than them. So benefits of knowing the word, wisdom's number one. Number one, number two is having a victorious prayer life. I'm going to give you one verse on that. This is in 1 John. John's a very popular guy. 1 John's one of the books in the back of the Bible. It says, this is the confidence which we have before him, before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. That makes sense? If you ask according to what God's will is, and it's in his will what you're asking for, then you are assured that God is going to act on behalf of your request. Now, it doesn't mean I'm praying for Uncle Sam, or no, forget that, Aunt Edna, whatever, okay, that she will get saved. And the next day, by golly, I prayed for it, she got saved. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is God wants to see Aunt Edna saved also, and he's going to act in whatever ways he can to bring her to him. There's going to be more of an emphasis on Aunt Edna, right? I mean, we know this is true because he says in the Bible, in Peter, he says, for God is not slow as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Why? Not wanting any to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. So now if you pray for somebody's salvation, you can be assured God hears you, and he's going to act on that because he wants them saved too. So you're praying in God's will when you do something like that. Yeah. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wisdom, benefit of knowing the word, victorious prayer. How about effective ministry and service? Once you become a believer, God wants you to grow, get in service with him, help him accomplish his goal here, winning people back to him. Here's just one verse on that. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And he says, all scripture, all the word is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now what that means is you'll be able to help people out in different situations, maybe redirect them, maybe sometimes admonish somebody, but that's not the big one, but it's in there. But to help people through different situations. Now, I can tell you this, I think most of you guys know this, most guys, we are fixers, okay? If you're in a situation or you've been disappointed about something and you're really hurting or whatever, our tendency, I know, is to come in and say, well, if you do this or let me do that, and everything will be okay. Just don't cry so much. You know, just take it easy. We tend to do that. That's the way we are. I know. I've done it many times. And then I read this verse in Romans, okay? I should have it up here, but I don't. But it's short. Maybe you can remember. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So a lot of times that can serve the whole day right there. Somebody's not feeling good, they're down, they've lost somebody they love or whatever the situation, okay? Or maybe they just had a wreck and the car that they really liked is now totaled. I don't know. Fill in the blank. You can't fix it. Just go in there and relate to them. Sympathize with them. That's what he's saying. I would never have thought of that. Benefits of knowing the word, wisdom, victorious prayer, effective ministry and service. And then there's what we call spiritual warfare. Now, I want you to know this. The devil's real. His demons are real. There are probably millions of them. Okay? God is real. He's much more powerful than the devil. He created the devil. His angels are real. And there's millions, billions of them. Who knows how many? The devil hates God. The devil hates anyone who loves God. The devil hates anyone who's trying to follow the Lord. Now, that's going to include about everybody in this room. And that means you have an enemy if you're a believer in Christ. If you're not, you still got an enemy, but he's not going to put a target on your back because you're already out of the picture. But if you're a believer in Christ, and particularly if you want to see him accomplish his goal of rescuing people, then you've got a target on your back. And the devil wants to take you out. There's a verse at the end of Peter. I wish I'd put it up here, but I didn't. But it says, the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's at the end of 2 Peter, the next book. So you've got an enemy, the devil. And there's a couple of verses here I just want to put up real quick. But the word tells you how to deal in spiritual warfare against the devil or against your enemy. It says, therefore, take up, this is in Ephesians chapter 6. It's not the entire chapter. You ought to read it. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's all the more reason you should learn the word. Okay? And also, when you get into Ephesians 6 and read these verses, it's going to talk about shodding your feet with the gospel and so forth, the belt of righteousness, these different pieces of armor, he says, put them all on. There's only one offensive weapon that he's lists there, the word of God. That's it. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the only offensive weapon you got. But it works. It's very effective. This is an example from when Jesus was being tempted in the desert. Okay, the devil's tempting him. At this point, he's starving to death. And the devil said to him, hey, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, or God's word says, man shall not live on bread alone. And the devil tempted him over and over and saying, do this, do that, and so forth. And Jesus every time replied to him, it is written, it is written, it is written. And finally the devil left him, says, to come back at a more opportune time, and also says. Doesn't mean that the devil left him permanently, but the devil left him because he was quoting the word of God to him. And I'll say this to you, and you'll think I'm nuts, and that's okay. Maybe you will. You can get in situations where you really sense that there's a spiritual battle going on here. Maybe that the devil's trying to intimidate you. And if you quote the word of God out loud, the devil will leave because he can't stand it. And if you do that, don't be surprised if you wind up shouting the word out loud. Well, I know that's happened to people because you realize this is what's going on. and you quote the words of the devil, and he departs. Maybe not bingo, but pretty quick, because he cannot stand God's word. So, spiritual warfare. There's one more. Character transformation. The word can change you. Here's a verse. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul wrote this, God spoke through him. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We are all being transformed into the same image as Jesus. That's the point here that he makes. As we behold God's word, read it. It changes you over a period of time. Not immediately, normally, but it changes the way you think over a period of time. So I say read it, you know, ponder it as they say, think about it, memorize it. It's good to memorize the word, parts of it. But what happens as you do that, I mean, I'll just warn you if you haven't done it, you're going to find your thinking changing on different things. You may start thinking a little bit different about yourself. You may think, maybe I've been thinking a little bit too much about my ability to do this or that or whatever. I've had a higher opinion of myself than I should have. I haven't really paid too much attention to these other people. I really ought to pay attention to them. They need help. They need this. They need that. But God's word will definitely change you in a good way over a period of time, and you'll grow spiritually. And it's God working through his word that will do that. You don't have to be afraid of it. God's not going to do anything bad to you. He's not going to disarm you or anything, but he's going to give you insights that you didn't have before. And he can actually create an affection in your heart for people that you really didn't care much about before. It really works that way. So, benefits of knowing the word. We've named them. Well, this is all I thought of. Anyhow, wisdom, victorious prayer, effective ministry, spiritual warfare, and character transformation. These are some of the benefits. It won't come overnight. It takes time to learn the word. But it doesn't take a real, real long time for you to learn enough of the word to realize this is true. This is affecting me. I got a real taste for this now. I want to learn more. And you'll never regret it. You'll never regret learning God's word, and you'll be able to use it your entire life. So what? There's the so what verse. First slide. Well, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord yet, he loves you. He loves all of us. And if you don't know him, he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to say yes to him. I just showed you about five of these billboard verses or whatever you want to call them, salvation verses also, where he's saying, open the door. Open the door. I want to come in. I love you. So this verse is for you. This is just one of many. If you don't have a relationship with him, remember what he says in this verse. This is in John 6:37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. All the people the Father gives me will come to me. And then he says, and the one or the person who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. I don't care how much bad baggage you got. I don't care how many bad habits you've got. I don't care what you've done. He's not going to cast you out. He's going to welcome you in. And if you got a lot of baggage, which we all do, I think. I know I certainly have. He'll help you deal with it over a period of time. I'm talking bad habits and addictions and everything else you can think of. He will help you deal with it. But if you come to him, he's inviting you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. He'll never turn you away because he loves you. And you'll never regret it. So if you're already a believer, what's in this for us? Here's just one verse I wanted to leave up. This is the last one. It's out of James 1, 22 and 25. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word. People who are reading it. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. One who looks at intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty that's contained in all the word, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man or woman will be blessed in what they do. So what he's doing, he's promising you and me that if you get into God's word and you try to put it into practice in your life, you're not going to regret it because God's going to bless you for doing what he asked you to do. Makes sense, huh? If God loves you, why would he not bless you if you're cooperating with him? But it's going to be very good for you, too. So, that's what I got for now. If you're a first-time guest, we got books over there to give you. You get to pick the one out you want, Discovering God's One. The other one's How Good Is Good Enough. They're both very good books to get you started learning more about God. You should have got a feedback card when you came in. Give us your feedback. We need it, believe me, and we read all of them. You got suggestions on how we can improve this meeting, one way or the other, plus or minus, let us know. If Xenos is your church, you're going to be passing bags around. You can throw money in it. If this is not your church, keep your money. We don't want your money. We want you to hear from the Lord. So don't give us your money if you don't consider this to be your church. And your children, if you brought them, they're in Oasis till 11:45. It's 11:25 now, so that's 20 minutes from now. Please pick them up by 11:45 if they're there so the other people don't have to hang on and wait on you indefinitely. Please? No, I'm kidding. Anyhow, they got your kids to 11:45, and they're very happy to have them, and they do good work with them, too. They do real good work, I think. So if you got questions or comments, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you a mic, and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Kendall. So we look at chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. So at first glance, that looks like, oh, here's one of those other things we're supposed to do. There's all kinds of good things that come from it. I'm not denying that. You had some good examples of the benefits of the word. But what really ties it in for me is verse 3, because it says, now that you have tasted, the Lord is good. So if you're a believer, you've been impacted in some way by God. My wife here made s'more cookies yesterday. It's a little graham cracker bowl with a marshmallow melted in it with a little piece of Hershey's chocolate laying on top.
Really?
Fantastic. So I told myself, I'm going to have one of these, right? Well, then when I tasted how good it was, I went back for a second one, right? So now I want to know what else you got for me. But when I think about this verse 3, if you're honest with yourself, you've experienced something, you know, good from God. And, you know, we should be craving what's next. What else do you have? And like you made the point, I mean, you don't have to know everything to make that decision. You just need to know enough for you. And there's way more in there. And this is a great way to start, you know, getting into the word. So
excellent comment. Thanks. Yeah. I really like the idea of this. What do you call them? S'more cookies?
I don't know if I got the name right.
No, but you're right. You're right. Thanks for the point.
So, Kendall, I wanted to say thanks for bringing up that Psalm 119, the verse 105, where, you know, it's the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when I think about that, I think I heard it early when I came to Christ. I heard a teaching on that somewhere about walking into a dark room. And that's us walking into the dark room, right? And turn on the light switch. You can't see. You can't experience anything. You're going to bang into things. You're going to stumble, and you're going to fall. And so I always like that. That's one of my go-tos when I think about, you know, God's word. And I just wanted to say thanks for that and, you know, just share that.
Thanks for the comment. I'll tell you what you were saying about it's a light to a dark room. That's very, very good. You're right. Well, we don't know where we're going a lot of times.
Thanks, Kendall. The, you know, when you look at the task of getting to know God's word, getting into it, it can be kind of daunting. I mean, you look at it, it's a long book, first of all. It's written in language that's not easy to understand necessarily, depending on what translation you're looking at. And I think that can be off-putting. You can look at that and say, I can't swallow that whole thing, right? I can't study that. And does this mean I have to sit down and study the word every day? And does it mean that I have to really buckle down and read it on my own? And while getting into God's word is not less than that, I mean, yeah, we do have to read it. There's so many ways to get into God's word. There's so many practical ways that I found to fit it into my life. I definitely try to spend 20 minutes a day, 15, 20 minutes a day just reading it. But that's the least of it. I mean, newborn babies don't just drink once a day for 20 minutes. I had the sleep deprivation to prove it from when my kids were young. You know, we got to be in it. And it doesn't mean that you have to sit down and read it every half hour either. I mean, there's ways to get into it that you can just listen to a teaching in your car. I mean, you can get so many free teachings from our church and from other churches around. Just throw them in the car. I'm riding my bike when I'm exercising. I listen to the word. Or I'll either listen to somebody reading God's word, or I'll listen to teachings. You can read other books about it. You can get involved in teachings like this one, or home churches, or cell groups. There's so many ways to get into God's word where we're nourished, and it's not just the same thing. You don't want to just eat the same food all the time or prepare it the same way every time. We got to have some variety, and that helps us to get into God's word and helps us to learn.
That's good. Thanks. And, you know, we got classes, too, all sorts of classes people can take, and they're good. You learn a lot. It doesn't take a long, long time.
Okay. I had breakfast yesterday with the guy who discipled me many moons ago, and he brought up a verse that I've always liked, but I'd forgotten about the impact that it made on my life at the time, and it was 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, take pains with these things, be absorbed with them, so that your progress may be evident to all. And, you know, when you talk about getting into the Word, you know, there's so many things in our lives, in my life, that I get absorbed in that have nothing to do with God. And it's getting that, a part of what has helped me grow through these years is getting my focus back onto God. And there's going to be times when we will fail at that. It is, like you said, it takes time. It is a process. Maturity doesn't come overnight. He reminded me of that, and I was just, because we've been struggling, I've been struggling just with that concept of talking to other people about living the Christian lifestyle to its fullest. And, you know, his point was, don't make it about you trying to, you know, get people to do what they need to get done to grow. Take them to the Bible and say, this is what God talks about spiritual growth. It's between them and the Lord. Yeah. And that is just makes a huge difference. And that is the impact that the Word of God can make on people's lives. And on top of that, when our lives change, that speaks volumes to what God is able to do with a human life. It is amazing.
Thank you. I can't add anything to it. Thanks. You can't speak. You're on the wrong side of the room.
I have a funny story that illustrates our need for the word. When I was in high school, I was at a slumber party, and we were down in the basement. And in the middle of the night in this strange room, I woke up and I needed to go to the bathroom. There's no lights on, and I didn't know where, you know, the lights were because it wasn't my house. So I'm okay. And I get up and I walk where I think the bathroom is, and I ran smack into a wall. I had no idea where this wall was or anything because I didn't know the layout of the room. So I turn around. I'm okay, it must be this way. Ran into another wall. It's a half hour in the dark with me needing to go to the bathroom. And every way I turn, I'm running into these walls because there was this, I found out later, there's this stairways going down into the middle of the basement. So I didn't know that. So anyways, at that point in time, I was a Christian, and I reflected, that's the way we are without God's life. We have desperate needs that we try to fulfill and try to reach, knowing what we do know, you know, from the knowledge we have, and we keep running into walls, and we keep banging ourselves, and that need becomes greater and greater. And then when we find the truth of God that gives us life and wisdom on how to live our life, how to deal with guilt, how to be successful in loving each other, there's a desperation that we feel, that there's just great joy at finding the light of God in this truth. So, but I think we have to have a gentleness in how we bring that to people, because I remember the despair I had, the stress I was in trying to find that bathroom. And if someone would have, you know, at the top of the stairs, flipped on the light and said, "Here's the light," I mean, I probably would have just had an accident right then and there. So I think we do need to be gentle as how we bring the light to a lost world that is really just trying to meet their own needs.
I agree. That's a good story, too.
Yeah, that was my wife, by the way. So that brought to mind a couple of verses that I think are real important when you're thinking about that. And I don't remember where they're at, but I memorized a lot of verses over the years. And one is, there's a way that seems right to man, but that way leads to destruction. And it's so true. And then also, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. And you were talking about memorizing verses. I've memorized those verses, and I always think of those when I get, you know, my mind goes crazy. Like, does, what should I do? What, you know, what's the right thing? Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him. And so it's what you were talking about is really important, I think, for people to realize.
You're right on. I agree. Memorize some of the word. Definitely memorize some of the word. It's like putting some bullets in your gun. You know, seriously. Spiritually. Anybody else?
Just going along with what was just said about equipping yourself, I would hear that for so many years and not really get what that meant. But just like through studies, through reading, absorbing, it's like when things go south, which they generally do a lot of times, I used to have this loop that played in my head about how it was all my fault because of some bad choices, and that would just take me down this spiral into despair and depression that I couldn't figure out because everybody was all screwed up because of me. And just as I matured in the Word and in my Christian walk and stuff, you have those verses now that you're reminded that that's how Jesus combated Satan and repelled him. And you can take those and speak against the lies in your head. And you're right, it works, you know, because of those are truth, and he can't stand against the truth. But just encourage everybody to start packing that tool belt because you're going to need it. But thanks for the teaching, too. Thanks.
Right on. Thank you. Okay, are we done? All right, anybody want to pray? You'll hold up your hand. I'll bring you a mic and I'll close it up. Well, Lord, thanks for today. Thanks again for your word. Thanks for the sharing, too, Lord. These folks share some.